Hi there, welcome to Word Story. My name's Austin, and if you've been listening, you know I love two things. I love etymology and I love history. So what I do with this podcast is I combine the both of them and tell interesting stories behind words we use every day. But I don't want to tell you what the word is right away. I want the story to reveal the word. If you follow along, you'll probably be able to guess what the word is at some point. So keep an ear out, and let's get started. This is our 7th episode. Today's word, or phrase really, was thought to have no solid origin for the majority of its existence. It was considered one of those colloquialisms that just formed organically, with no real clear genesis. That is, until the mid-1980s, when etymologist Dr. Gerald Cohen pieced together, through various news clippings and police reports, a story to support the origin of this phrase, which he outlined in his work Studies of Slang. The story in question takes us to the dirty, crime-ridden, and ever-changing streets and back alleys of New York City in the 1840s. New York at this time was in a state of flux, just coming off the Industrial Revolution and starting to develop faster than any city in the world. The city had become a center of commerce and culture, taking these unofficial titles from Boston. New York's endless ports and waterways allowed a multitude of goods to flow in and out of the city, as well as people. People poured in from every corner of the country and overseas, and the city swelled with innovation and culture. However, crime was rampant in New York during this era, as people in the city found new ways to get by on the crowded streets. Our story today focuses on one such man and his wife, who turned to a life of crime to make ends meet. Alexander Hoag was a clever thief and con man, but most importantly, he was a pimp. A struggling pimp, at that. Alexander and his wife Melinda ran a small prostitution ring, but were still struggling to meet their needs. Alexander, being the slick, clever shrew that he was, devised a plan to enhance their earnings from their clientele. Late into the night, Melinda and Alex would make their way into an empty back alley, whereupon he would find a concealed hiding spot, and nearby, Melinda would put herself out on display, looking to ensnare eager passers-by. She would lure the unsuspecting gentleman down the alley to Alexander's hiding spot and begin to transact with the customer. As this was happening, and she had the man enraptured by his own lust, Melinda would dig through his pockets and bags, take what she could, and hold the items in her outstretched hands. Alexander would emerge from his hiding spot, take the stolen goods, and slip away into the night, where they would meet up later and revel in their newfound profits. However, these men inevitably went straight to the police once they realized they'd been had. So, in typical mid-19th century fashion, Alexander bribed several local officers to keep quiet, and he split the stolen goods with them. This little ruse went on for quite a while, until Alexander and Melinda once again found themselves in dire straits. So, to increase their income, the pair moved their operation off the streets and into the safety of their tiny New York apartment, cutting out the police in the process, and keeping what would have been their share. To ensure their success, Alex cleverly cut away one of the panels in their bedroom wall, in which he could hide. Melinda would bring the clients into the room and demand they remove their clothing and place it on a chair near the wall and the panel that was within Alexander's reach. Melinda then took the men into the bed, drew the curtains on their four-poster, and gave Alexander an audible signal. The panel gave way, and two arms crept from within and took every last cent the men had and carefully replaced the panel. To ensure the men did not have enough time to notice their stolen goods, Alexander would leave his hiding place from a different exit, loudly march down the hall, and bust open the door, pretending to be a husband just back from a trip. He would berate the men and scream at his wife, scaring them enough to quickly jump up, grab their clothes, and hop out the window, not noticing that they had been robbed until the heat wore off much later. Alexander and Melinda's plan worked for a while, but the police eventually caught on and learned they had been stiffed out of their portion of the profits. The pair were promptly arrested and jailed. Not too long after, with the help of his brother, Alex slyly escaped from prison, but was shortly captured and re-imprisoned. The police were upset about being duped, and blamed Alexander's downfall on the fact that he ended up being too smart for his own good. And this led to a nickname. From then on, in jail, every police officer referred to Alexander Hoag as Smart Alec. The name caught on in the police force, and whenever a criminal was caught who was too smart for his own good, they would refer to him as a smart aleck. 10 to 20 years later, the term started cropping up here and there outside of the police, and then was first printed in the 1860s. The phrase then caught on in popular culture, surviving all the way to present day. They say the most successful criminals are the dumbest. So if you're going to be doing any crime, robbery, ruses, scams, schemes, or dupings, remember, ignorance is bliss. This week's episode was brought to you by Spencer and Michael Hall's 1,000 Pound Boulders, a family comedy about life, love, and fulcrums, in theaters spring 2019. If you enjoyed the show today, please, a review can be so helpful, and it really is appreciated. I hope you'll join us again next week for another word and a new story. Thanks for listening.